Come on, that was just, man, it's beautiful when you, honestly, you come to a place to worship and be thankful and be amazed and be in his presence. Just to be able to give back to the Lord. I mean, he just simply says, just love me back, right? Just love me back. And a part of our response through song and worship and instruments, even corporately in the assembly, is beautiful. But man, I encourage you during the week, man, be in worship. I encourage you during the week, spend time thanking the Lord and be amazed by him, whether it's in your car, whether it's in the morning, whether wherever that looks like. And it doesn't even have to be music involved, but we love our music and we love music. And maybe it's just a quiet time that you're just being amazed at his goodness. And just to really know Psalm 23, surely your loving kindness, depends on what version you have, your loving kindness and your mercy, your compassion, they follow me all the days of my life. It's beautiful. Man, I just want to share my heart just for a minute before we preach. If you want, you can turn to Isaiah chapter 40. But coming off of Kingdom Bound was just truly a wonderful, wonderful week. But also with that, you have a lot of big names and big speakers and, you know, these amazing bands and the leaders of the bands, and they all speak and they, you know, they give their testimony. And man, I heard a lot this week of testimonies from addiction and depression to Jesus. Like, I was addicted to this and I was, you know, man, my life was in the gutter and I was depressed and I was about to commit suicide. And then all of a sudden I had a Jesus moment. And they have this, and it's a beautiful testimony. Nothing to take away from the testimony. It's a beautiful testimony, but it was like rags to riches. And it's just like, and how they tell it, they're bragging on Jesus, which is amazing. But man, I just kind of got a sense, like, as there's so many young people that go to Kingdom Mound and so many people that go to Kingdom Mound, you know, it's kind of like they tell their story. And I heard it again and again from all kinds of different artists and different speakers of just how horrible they had it. And they were addicted and they were in the gutter and they were about to just end their life. And then all of a sudden they had Jesus, and it was on repeat. And I'm just like, okay, where is the greatest testimony that a person can have? Because it becomes that pedestal testimony. This is my testimony. Man, I was about to kill myself, and I was addicted to this, and I was addicted to that, and I was such an immoral person. I was sleeping with everybody. They go on and on and on, and in a sense of a brag on how bad they were, but then they came to Jesus, and it's this, I got this sense, it was like this pedestal testimonies, and I would not want anyone to think like, well, I don't have that. The greatest testimony we can have is I came to Christ at a young age and I have followed him. I came to Christ at a young age and I truly gave my life to him. And the greatest, this is so important to me, because as I'm sitting there throughout the week, I'm like, I don't want people to mistake, oh, well, I don't have a testimony because I wasn't the werewolf to Jesus type. I don't have a testimony because I never did drugs. I don't have a testimony because I've never been an alcoholic. I don't have a testimony because, no. Man, that could be that pedestal testimony that can get it all wrong. That then all of a sudden we have this desire like, oh, I want that testimony. No, the greatest testimony is for the one who comes to Christ at a young age and says, all things have become new and I belong to him and I get it. I'm born again. My sin has been repented of, and I'm going to live my life from a young age because I'm on with Jesus, and I understand the work of the cross. I understand that I've been made new, and I understand the old is gone. And at a young age, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I don't need that rags to Jesus testimony. My testimony is one that I've stayed the course from a young age on. My testimony is one that I have been steadfast and immovable. My testimony is this: I've not hung out with unwise people. I have not hung out with the world. My testimony is this: I've actually made good, strong, biblical decisions that have saved me from a lot of soul break and a lot of heartbreak and a lot of disaster in my life. I don't want that rags to riches in Jesus testimony. I want young people in this generation to come to Jesus at a young age and say, I have lived my life for him. That's my testimony. That's my testimony. Because we can say, well, I don't have a testimony. Well, that's not true. And that's just not true. The greatest testimony is your endurance. Your greatest testimony is you saying no to the world. Your greatest testimony is saying, no, I identify. Proverbs is so clear. I identify that as stupid. I'm not going to do that. That's a great testimony. No, that's stupid. And if you need that for your testimony, good luck. I don't. Because the Bible says to avoid stupid. So that's stupid. I'm avoiding stupid. That's my testimony. Because I just love Jesus from a young age. And it has been my heart's desire. It doesn't mean, listen, please hear me. It don't mean you walk on water. But it doesn't mean you don't have this rags to riches. You don't have this addiction. You don't have this and that. You don't have this pedestal testimony for people to look up to and say, well, I don't have one like that. I want to be so careful and be so clear that the greatest testimony is, no, I gave my life to Christ. Like, I belong to him. I've surrendered at a young age. And my life reflects that. I love Jesus, and I've loved him since the moment I came to him, and I've lived a dedicated life. That's the greatest testimony of all. Can we say amen to that, please? Yeah. Amen. We want to win this generation, church. We want to win this generation, and I want that to be the testimony. And sometimes we can look up to those who have made just horrible decisions in life. Like, I don't want to look up to that. You've made really dumb, horrible, horrible decisions in your life. And I am pumped that you came to Jesus, and I'm pumped that you're serving him. But don't put your testimony on a pedestal. Because there are those who are watching. And I don't ever, ever want anyone to say, well, I don't have a testimony, because that's a real testimony. Baloney. That's a dude or a woman who made horrible decisions in life, and there's consequences to those decisions, right? I want the one who says, no, I just understood who my God was in Jesus Christ. And God loved me, put himself on a cross for me, and I live my life for him, and it's been such a young age. I mean, I've made my decisions according to the word, and I've saved myself the heartbreak. I've saved myself the soul mess. I've saved myself the disaster. No, I found myself one woman. I've found myself one man, and we live happily ever after because we do it God's way, and we are blessed, and we are favored by God. And I've done things his, like, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. And for those who do have a broken past, amen, that you have come to a place to know Christ as Lord and Savior. You know what it is to be free from sin. You know what it is to be forgiven. You understand the beautiful, amazing depth of grace and how beautiful that is and how powerful that is as all of us who are saved. But man, I just want us to know that what it is to come to Christ at a young age and say, I'm in, I'm on his team, and I serve him, and I love it, and I love it. I want that testimony for the young people of Believer's Chapel and for the young people who hear the preaching and come to know Christ as Savior in this region, that they would just live hard after him, live full after him, and watch God's favor come on their life with such great blessing. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. 11 o'clock. You're ready. You're ready. Isaiah 40. Lord, thank you for your time. I love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have blessed us in your word today. Speak through us in this powerful, powerful time, in this moment that we have in your powerful word. Your word is alive and powerful. It's active and effective. It's absolutely true. And God, I pray that we would follow it. Lord, I ask that by your spirit, you would speak to us this morning in just this moment. God, you would speak to us. That God, we dare not leave this place the same as when we came in this place. God, that you would speak to us, please. God, we would hear you move in this place in such a powerful way. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40. We started this last week. Next week, we get to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. I'm not saying Isaiah. There's no. Yeah, we're going Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I'm God. We're going to be preaching from Psalm 46 next week. And last week, we kind of looked at just the greatness of God. We looked at the world and just the, you know, the earth and just how he's like, yeah, I got it. It's from here to here. The earth is my footstool. Isaiah 66. Like, listen, we're just simple little dots on this big ball that's a bigger dot, but it's not the biggest dot in the universe. It's still considered, the earth is still a small dot compared to the other round balls that are in existence. And it's like, okay, when you really break it all down and you see that God is like way huge, big, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever all at once. He spoke and it became, and yet he knows every time I breathe, every time I think, every time I speak, he knows it. you come to this place that Isaiah 40 is a setup for where we're going today in Isaiah 40, 31. It's just a great setup as a reminder when the Lord says, Sean, wait on me. Isaiah 40 leading up to 41 is a reminder of who we're waiting on. It's a reminder of how great our God is. It's a reminder that he doesn't think like us and he doesn't talk like us and he knows way more than us. It's a reminder that God sits in the heavens and the earth is his footstool. It's a reminder that God says, yeah, from here to here, listen, get it. I'm great and I'm almighty and I know everything and I can do anything, and that's who I am as God. And when I love it because when the Bible says, Sean, wait on me, I do know who I'm waiting on. I do know who I'm waiting on. The church, we live in just a crazy, crazy time. You know, you look at the world and how crazy the world is at times, and then it comes to this place of America. The Bible wasn't written for America. We love America, but we love the Bible more. So we follow the Bible above anything else. And you look at where America is today. America's in just chaos and crazy. And you look at even where, you know, the different areas of states and the different states' idea of how we're supposed to live. And you plant yourself in New York or Pennsylvania, and New York's just an absolute train wreck. And you look at even our region and just the darkness that seems to be taking place. And my question through this is like, okay, in all of this and all of this, where is the light? Where are those who can see all the crazy and say, no, God's in charge. God's got this. No, I'm going to wait on him. But when you live in such a season that we live in, that you just see such deep, dark immorality. You see children under attack. You see perversion at every door. You see New York State just pushing and pushing, pushing lies and perversion to our kids. You're just like, okay, hold on. What's happening? Because if it just keeps just filling your soul and your spirit with all the darkness and all the crazy and all the heaviness, sometimes that will just get to you and it will explode your spirit and say, what happened? And you come to this beautiful place in Scripture that is absolutely true. And God says, Sean, just wait on me. Wait on me. And I think this is a very timely word and a timely series because I love and I believe that we're going to see a beautiful revival. And a revival comes through holiness. When you walk in a place of holiness and you begin to call out darkness and you call out just damning sin and immorality in those who are just trying to take out our children, you begin to walk in a manner that is right and worthy of God, and you stand out head over heels over many other churches that are woke churches that are just following hard after government and politics and going after popularity, and they forgot all about the absolute truth of God's word. And you see, you can look around and think maybe the ship is sinking, but man, I got some really good news for you. What happens when you look at all of this and you say, wait a minute, no, there are beautiful, strong, amazing churches across the world here in America, even in New York, even here locally, that are standing firm on the word of God. They're saying, no, we're not going in that crazy darkness. Yes, I see that it's being dark, but all is well with my soul. So this is where I want us to be today. We're speaking on the rewards of waiting. And today there's one point to the reward of waiting. It does something to your soul. It does something on the inside. It can be chaos and crazy and dark on the outside. And we're a church who will hold true to God's word. We will hold true to husband and wife. We will hold true to male and female. We don't have to go down the whole ugly list. But it's just not that complicated. It's black and white. It's just simple stuff that we have lost the sense of reality to. Like there is no sense of reason and there's no sense of reality. But what happens when that begins to creep in? Now, I think today is the reward of waiting biblically is it does something to your soul. It does something to your inside. And we're going to get into this. And man, I just want you to just kind of do a quick, before we even start to preach, man, I want you to do a quick self-inventory, a self-test going, okay, where am I in this? Like right now. Is there heaviness in my soul? Is there the sense of darkness that's just kind of all around? And have I allowed it in? Like, do this kind of this self-test of exactly where you're at. Man, my soul just seems to be heavy, and my soul seems to be broken, and my soul just seems to be dark, and it just seems to be overwhelming because all this stuff that's going on, and it just can be just too much until you hear this today. And I believe that this is going to be something amazing for all of us when God Almighty says, wait on me. And you will gain new strength. You will mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not get tired. And you see, when it's referencing what's happening on the inside, in the Lord can be a completely different picture than what's happening on the outside. There is such a security in that. Come on, look at this. Please look at verse 28, please. I love this. Come on. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Like, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Again, I love it. Where all you, we read through all of Isaiah 40 last week, unpacked just that he is great. He is awesome. He is almighty. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the God who is everlasting, the God who is eternal, the God who is forever, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three in one, the one who understands that yes, there is God, and God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Holy Spirit, all three involved in creation, everlasting God, the God who is eternal, the God who is forever. He is the Lord. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not become weary or tired. God does not get worn out. God did not need to take a nap. And listen, I don't understand the nap thing. I've never understood the nap thing. Mom and Dad would try to put me down for a nap as a child. It didn't go well, right? Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but I got a little bit of energy. And it's just like, okay, the nap thing doesn't work for me, right? I still, to this day, I wake up early. Sometimes I go to bed a little late, still wake up early. And it's not like, oh man, I need a nap at noon. Like, who takes a nap at noon? Like, you just woke up a couple hours ago and now you're sleeping again. That's not my game. I don't understand that. But when you see scripture, right? All the guys are like, man, I took a nap yesterday. Like, God bless you. I'll high five you. I'm just saying, that's just not my game. Like, I slept when it was dark, right? And even when I was full-time police officer, I always worked the night shift. Man, like, I would be in bed at 8. I'm up by literally noon or 1, had the whole day. It was amazing. And it was just like, okay, this is great. Hey, I got to go take a nap. You got to do what? Like, no, I need to go lay down. Well, are you with your wife? No, I'm got to take a nap. I'm not going to understand being with your wife and all, but it's like the married couple's like, amen, nooner, let's go. Anyways, forgive me. Anyways, you're married. It's good. We could have a great conversation on that. But anyways, let's not. So how we got there, I have no idea. But God doesn't get weary or tired, and God doesn't take a nap. That's the point, right? 11 o'clock is like, was this the 9 o'clock? Not even close. Was it the 9 o'clock? Y'all are ready. But when you understand God is like, listen, I don't grow weary. I don't get tired. I don't blink. I don't miss it. I never take a nap. And you look at this, and I love this. He does not become weary or tired, as in his understanding is inscrutable. His understanding is unsearchable. The depth, I love this, the depth of who he is. Church, we have everything that we need to know. And great detail of his greatness and his power and his authority, and he is creator. Like, we have all of this that we know and we understand, but the Bible gives a very clear picture saying, listen, you'll never get to the depth. You can't reach the end of who he is. He is so deep and he is so wise. His understanding, to try to understand him is inscrutable. It's unsearchable. But yet we see how great he is, and we see his power and his might and his authority, but we can never, there's so much more to him that we can, and that's so important, there's so much more to him that we can actually see. Even what we see is enough, but yet there's more to him. We never get to the end of him. And he says this in verse 29, I love this. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly. Like, I love what he says here. He says, listen, watch. He gives strength to the weary. He gives strength. He gives authority. He gives power. He gives might. Like, he does something to those who are worn out. He doesn't wear out himself. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't need anybody to strengthen him. He doesn't need anybody to speak life back into him. Like, he's never drained. And amazing, when these moments that we get drained, our God is never drained. God doesn't need a high five for me and you to make him feel better. God doesn't need that Holy Spirit hug. He doesn't need that, oh, come on, brother, join. Like, God doesn't need that to make him feel better. God doesn't need an uptick to his soul. Like, that's not God. He doesn't need anything from us that would cause him to be encouraged, because God never gets drained. He's always the same. He doesn't change. But you and I, there's moments that we feel drained. There's moments that we feel heavy. There's moments that we do feel overwhelmed. And this passage is for us for even a season like this. And I love where it says he gives strength to those who are worn out. He gives strength to those who are drained. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. To those who lack might, he increases power. Look at the gain. Look at the gain, right? Look at the gain. To the youth grow weary and tired, the vigorous young men stumble badly. Here it is, verse 31. Watch this. Yet those who wait on the Lord. We talked about the word wait last week. It means yet those who trust in him, those who depend on him. Your version may say hope. Those who have a hope, those who have this confident expectation, those who are looking for. Yet those who wait, you know what this means? There are also those who don't wait on the Lord. There is a reward and there is a benefit to those who wait on the Lord, but there will be those who will hear this, that ignore this, that still continue to try to do it themselves. No, I can get out of this. No, I can push through this. No, I can get out of this. No, I'm just going to do it my way. No, I'm just going to do it my way. No, I'm going to be okay. No, I'm going to do it my way. No, I'm going to be okay. Hold on, wait. There are those who will wait on the Lord, and there are those who won't. And I love this. It says, yet those who wait, those who expect, those who look for, those who trust, will gain new strength. Church, what happens when you're feeling drained? What happens when you're feeling weary? What happens when you can believe this promise to say, okay, hold on. And I love this because it's so true. The circumstance may not ever change. But where does gaining new strength come from? It's on the inside. No, I feel like there is just, you know, you've been those times that you're beginning to lean into the Lord and you're beginning to just trust in him, and you understand what it means to wait. You understand what it means to look for God. I know that you will move. God, I know that I'm trusting in you and depending upon you. I'm no longer doing it in my own will and my own desire. God, I'm doing it unto you. And I know what it means to really look like, to wait and expect and look for you to move. And then all of a sudden, something starts to take place on the inside. Wait a minute, my circumstances haven't changed, but I'm going to be okay. You begin to understand what this passage is really, the depth of this and what it really looks like to gain new strength. It's not speaking about benching 400. That's not that way that's speaking about. It's speaking about something in your soul. It's talking about speaking of something within your spirit, something within your heart. Come on, keep your finger there, please, and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Again, today's point is, where is it that we gain, man? What is it? The reward of waiting is it does something to my soul. It does something to my soul. And when you begin to understand, okay, God, I need a soul overhaul, man. I need some work on my soul. Then it comes through waiting on him. Proverbs 3, many of you know these verses. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There it is. There's the inside. Okay, if I'm going to wait on him, if I'm going to trust on him, yet those who wait, yet those who trust, yet those who expect, yet those who hope in the Lord, they will. I love it. They will. It's a promise. They will gain new strength. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's from inside out. Here it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Why? Because his understanding is inscrutable. His understanding is unsearchable. We are so limited. We are so small in our understanding. We can't ever figure out the real big, huge picture, but God can. So we need to trust in his understanding and not in my understanding. I promise you, church, I promise you, you and I do not know more than God. I promise you that we don't know more than God. God sees it all. He's got the bird's eye view. He's got the perspective to the world. He knows everything from one end to the other. And listen, when it says, I love the simplicity of this, do not lean on your own understanding. Meaning, listen, God, I think I'm going to do it my way. Well, that's a dumb plan. God, I see, but I'm going to do it my way. I see what your word says. I think I know more than you in this. God, I know that you, like, I know that we don't reason with God that way, but isn't it amazing that when we see his word and the simplicity of his word, we actually, our actions, watch this now. I'm not saying we tell God, God, I know you said this, but I think, man, I've been around a long time, God. I'm an elder now and I can see it. I've had kids. God, I know what it is to parent. I've been there, done that. You ever hear someone say, I've been there, done that? You're like, yeah, really? Probably not. Like, you know, but we may not reason with God, but our actions begin to declare like we think we know more than you. Church, what happens when we are just called to simply wait on him and have this high expectation and this confidence in him and stop playing games with our understanding compared to his understanding, because his understanding is inscrutable. His understanding is unsearchable. We'll never get to the depth of what he really knows because he knows it all. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. Or your version may say, he will direct your steps. I love reading and saying, God, that's a promise. There's a if and then. That's a promise. God, if I trust in you with all that's inside of me and I don't lean on my own understanding, and if I acknowledge you in all my ways, God, you'll direct my steps. If I acknowledge you in all my ways, you'll direct my steps. And people love to stop there, but look at what it says. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Isn't there amazement in saying, okay, God, if I trust in you and I acknowledge you, you're going to direct my steps. And if I don't try to do it my way and be wise in my own eyes, but I look at the wisdom of your word, man, that will be healing and refreshment to my body and my bones, which is significant to the inside, which is truth to my spirit and my soul. Come on, Psalm 62 with me, please. Psalm 62. And you'll see what this really looks like. What happens when we wait on him? What is the reward of my spirit, man? What is the reward of my soul? What is the reward of my heart? Which all indicate the inside. Not the outside, not the chaos on the outside, not the confusion on the outside, not the circumstances on the outside. But if I'm truly waiting on him, I will gain new strength. That is a promise from Isaiah 40, verse 31. Yet those who wait on the Lord, yet those, am I going to be one of the yet those? Am I going to be on this side of the yet those? I'm going to be on that, yet I will be one of those who wait on the Lord. Yet those who wait on the Lord, they will. This is a promise and a guarantee. If I wait, if I trust, if I expect, if I look for, if I have hope in him, then I will gain new strength. Man, I will walk in a way that something's taking place on me on the inside. Even though the outside's chaos and crazy and dark, something's happening on me on the inside that I know it's going to be okay. Look at this, Psalm 62. I love this. Psalm 62, verse 1 says this, my soul waits in silence. Church, what happens when your soul is just loud? What happens when you don't know what silence really is on the inside? It's always moving. It's always crazy. It's always confusing. You're always thinking through things, and it's unhealthy, and it's always negative. Man, if you're one of those who sits in front of the television all day long and you believe that from the news, if you walk in a place, I don't know why I'm such a mess on the inside. All you've done is download nonsense and lies, and all you've done is download anxiety, and all you did is download fear. No wonder your soul's a mess. What happens when you look at Psalm 62, say, my soul waits in silence. Church, what happens when you put garbage in? It's not complicated, man. You get garbage out. What happens when you fill your soul with such crazy and chaos, and just you fill your soul with wrongdoing and sin, and you fill your soul with filth, you fill your soul with just, what happens? What do you think is going to happen to your soul? It's just going to be so loud. It's going to be so chaos. It's going to be so crazy. But look at the psalmist here. He says this, my soul waits. Church, there is a reward to our soul in waiting. But it gives why. Watch this. My soul waits in silence for God only. I'm not looking to the right. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking for my help here. I'm not looking for my help there. So many times we look for help and it's at the bottom of a barrel or bottom of a bottle. Sometimes we look for help and it's the bottom of a drug. Sometimes we look for help and it leads to immorality. Sometimes we look for help in truly all the wrong, dark places. No, my soul waits in silence for God only. Church, what happens when we truly turn to the Lord, even in this moment, even in this day, to say, God, it's just time for me to wait on you. I have tried this thing myself. I have put so much noise in my spirit. Man, I have put so much contaminants within my soul. God, I can't hear from you. What happens if even today you're like, okay, it's time. It's time to flush, man. It's time to download. It's time to get rid of all of the chaos and crazy and noise within my spirit. Psalm 62 says this, my soul waits in silence for God only, and from him, watch this, from him is my salvation, from him is my deliverance, from him is my victory. He only is my rock and my salvation. He only is my rock. He is my stable. He is that which is immovable. If you put your trust in man, they will fail. If you walk in a fear and a trust in the Lord, you will be exalted. Like when you walk in a place to understand, God, I'm not going to put my trust in man because that will bring a snare. Proverbs 29:25. He who trusts in man will be a snare. That'll be a trap. But he who trusts in the Lord, he who fears the Lord, he will be exalted. Come on, watch this, please. He only is my rock, man. He is my security. He is immovable. He is whom I can trust in. He is my salvation. He is my stronghold. Stronghold here, it means he is my defense. He is my secured height. Like when you understand stronghold, you understand that position of advantage. And it's that height that brings security. When you're above everything else, there's a place of security in that. There's a place of security in that. And God is our stronghold. He is that secure height. He is that defense for us. Verse 5 says the same thing. It says this, my soul wait in silence for God only. For my hope, there it is. There it is. For my expectation, for my trust, my confidence, my waiting is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation and my stronghold. He says this, I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. Yet those who wait on the Lord, will gain new strength. My soul waits in silence for God only. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my stronghold. He is my defense, man. He is my refuge. He is my shelter. And I will not be shaken. Church, what happens when we look at the scriptures this morning and we really say, okay, God, I need to believe this. Because I don't know if I've really been truly waiting on you. I don't know if I've understood the depth of what it is to wait and look for and expect and have this anticipation, God, that you will do something new in my spirit. I love this. Verse 8 says this, trust in him. Trust in him at all times. Trust in him at all times. That means the season we're in right now, the season you're in tomorrow, the season you're in next month, the season you're in next year, the season as a teenager and growing up as a teenager, the season of starting to date, the season of now, okay, I'm just getting married, the season of, okay, living that life of a newly married couple, the season of now, okay, we're pregnant, and now we're going to start having children, and I'm going to be a parent, like, oh, that's a whole new world, like, to be a parent and to raise up kids. Like, church, what happens when it's not according to your season of life, but it's just simply said in Psalm 62, verse 8, to trust in him at all times. Times is a word for season. In all seasons. In all seasons. And then there's something particular here. It's beautiful. Trust in the Lord at all times. Watch this. Pour out your heart before him, for he is a refuge for us. Verse 8. When's the last time you poured out your heart to the Lord? I mean, like, it was just a true you and him, and it was a complete download on him. And the word pour out, it means as if the dam has broke and the flood is coming. Sometimes we can wrap up so much in our soul. So many times we can have so many contaminants in our soul. So much we can have so much bad and negativity in our soul. And I love where it says right here, like, listen, in every season, you and I are called to trust him, depend on him, wait on him, look for him, expect God to move. And in that, it's time to pour out my heart to him, to just release, to have this dam breaking release to him. It means it's just time to download. It's time to unload. It's time to say, God, I am just pouring out my heart. This is what everything that I've held deep. This is everything that I've contained within my soul. Here's all my negativity. Here's all my hurt. Here's all my pain. Here's all my sorrow. Here's all my brokenness. Man, I have been an absolute mess. And God, you're calling me to pour out my heart for you because you are my refuge. That means you are my shelter. When's the last time you had a pour out moment with the Lord? Because I'm called to trust you in this season. Church, when you understand what it is to wait on the Lord, you will gain new strength. It will do something to your soul. Psalm 31:24 is a it's a great verse. Can you put that up, please? I love this. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Be strong. The word strong here, it has this sense of power. It has this sense of ability. Be strong. And again, it's not a benching 400. Now, we're not all Dan Farnham here. It means to be strong. From what place? For let your heart. Isn't it amazing that God is more concerned on our inside than he is on our outside? Aren't you pumped about that? Like, God is more concerned about what's happening on the inside than the outside. God is more concerned about us being strong and letting our heart that is on the inside, who I really am on the inner person, that my heart take courage. That my heart will be bold. That my heart will be in this place of confidence. Watch this. For who? All you who hope in the Lord. You see, we got to have an understanding here. Being strong and letting your heart take courage, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't like, okay, I'm bad today, I'll be great tomorrow. That just doesn't happen that way. There has to be a shift. Yet those, watch this, yet those who wait on the Lord, keep that up there, please. Yet those who wait on the Lord, there's an action here. I've got to do my part because God will always do his part. I got to do my part because God will always do his part. I've got to wait on him. I got to expect from him. I got to look for him. I got to trust in him. Man, I want to be strong and I want to be courageous, but there's a point. All you who hope in the Lord, if I'm not putting my hope, if I'm not putting my trust, if I'm not waiting on him, then don't expect to be strong and full of courage. Right? You've got to understand this whole concept of yet those who wait will gain. Yet those who hope will be strong. Those who hope, those who trust, those who depend, those who look to, they will be strong. They will be bold. They will be courageous. Something will take place within their heart. Something will take place within their spirit. Something will take place within their soul. Because they're no longer relying on themselves. I got this. I can do it. I'll push through. Don't need no help. I'm good. Hey, how you doing? I'm good. Really, because everyone else in the world knows your life's a train wreck. No, I'm good. No, I'm like, it's not a secret. Like, this isn't like privacy talk. Like, you're heading for the bridge is out ahead for you, bro. No, I'm good. I'm fine. Or, hey, man, how you doing? You know what? My hope is in the Lord. Man, the outside's a little crazy, but I got to tell you. I'm good inside. That's an answer I can give a high five to and say, you go. That's the right answer. It's not the, I'm fine. I'm good. No, man, seriously, how you doing? No, I'm good. Bro, how you doing? Come on, sister, how are you? I'm fine. Really, because everything around you says you're not. Seriously, how you doing? You know what? My hope is in him. And I'm waiting on him. And I know that it's crazy on the outside, but I got to tell you, Sean, I'm good on the inside. Like, my soul is good. I'm not saying I'm good in a fake way. I know it's crazy, and I know people look at it and say it's nuts, but something's happening to me on the inside that I've got this internal strength. Because I'm waiting on him. What happens if you become real in church? Look at this. Trust in him at all times and every season. Man, pour out your heart before him. For God is a refuge for us. Come on, we close back in Isaiah 40, please. It's great to preach Isaiah 40, 31, and so many times, myself included, we focus on this part of this, right? We focus on this second piece to this. Like everybody, like and listen, through COVID, we had this amazing service up at Rock City Park. It was outside, it was live streamed for our people, and I spoke on the eagle and did this whole message on what it means to really, biblically speaking, that we are called to be like eagles and how God created the eagles. So many people focus on on this, and I'm just going to take a minute on it, and you look at this, yet those who wait for the Lord, they will gain new strength. Watch this, please hear me. And they will. They will mount up with wings like eagles. The beautiful piece to this is mount up, and it means to rise above. It means to soar again. You ever see a duck fly? A duck, just when it flies, it's just flapping, it's making all kind of noise, and it's just like it looks like they are working overtime. Right? We got some good duck hunters here, and they just like dink, dink, dink. Like, you know, everybody fire. It's funny, I'm not a duck hunter, but I know some friends of mine, dear friends of mine, are duck hunters, and they all shoot at once, and then they all take the victory. Like, oh, I shot him. No, I shot him. No, I thought I shot him. Like, it's amazing to hear the stories. Like, well, who got the ducks? I got them all. They're like, no, you didn't. I shot them. Well, everybody shoots at the same time. And you just really don't know. But did you ever see a duck fly, right? It's just, it's working so hard. It's flapping. It's making a lot of noise. And then you see an eagle. It doesn't say fly like a duck. God says soar like an eagle. It is truly amazing that I love that our creator of the heavens and the earth created the eagle to simply just soar. He doesn't flap his wings like a crazy bird. He doesn't start low and go high. They make their nest high so that they can just kind of jump off, spread their wings, and just go. And when a storm comes, they wait, they wait, they wait. And then they fly into the storm to get above it. They use the storm in their soaring of their wings to rise above the storm. Well, you know, the rest of the animals are getting dumped on, they're getting poured on, the lightning is crushing, the thunder is loud, and they're just trying to hide in their nest or under this or whatever that looks like. And where's the eagle? He just waits, and he waits for the wind to kick, and he just spreads his wings and says, thank you. And he rises above a storm. And amazing that God Almighty could have picked any bird for us to be like. Says, Sean, I need us to know that when you wait on me, you will rise above. You will soar. Even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of crazy, even in the midst of chaos. Church, this is stunning. I think for so many, I really believe that we've been acting like a bunch of ducks, and we've been trying to flap so hard and flap so hard and flap so hard and just make so much noise and just kind of... I really believe that today is one of those days that we say, you know what, I'm not created to be a duck. But God, you say this, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength, and they will. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will rise above. They will climb. They will climb. So many times we feel like we're just on this downhill slide. That's what I love about the Word of God. I said, wait a minute, time to change. If you're waiting on me, it's time to climb. It's time to soar. And it's time to rise above. And it's time to fly again. They will run and they will walk. I love it because it's always forward. It's a progression that moves forward. Yet those who wait for the Lord in their spirit, in their soul, they will be moving forward. Come on, if you would just stand to your feet, please. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not grow weary. Just bow your heads for a moment, please. Where are you in this? I feel like, man, Sean, and I heard it so much after the first service, Sean, that was, whoo, that was a zinger. Like, I'm in the crazy boat right now. Like things in my heart are just a mess. I feel like it's crazy on the inside. But man, I want to soar again. I feel like I'm working so hard. And I want to be able to mount up and rise above. I want to be able to climb again. Because God calls me to be above the storm. I got to go through it to get above it. I got to go through it to be above it. I think sometimes we just fight in our heart. Your heads bowed and your eyes closed, man. I just praying through this week, man. I just want to pray for you today. Just right where you're sitting, man. Are you in this house and you're like, Sean, that's me. I need prayer, and I just want you to pray right now. And I want to be one who says, Lord, I'll wait. But with that waiting, I'm expecting, and my eyes are on you, and I'm trusting, and I'm looking for you to move. I want something to happen that I will gain new strength. Man, I want to cleanse my soul, and I want to get out all the contaminants that I've allowed in. I want to wait in silence again for you. And then, God, you say that I will soar again. What would that feel like again to be able to rise above with such confidence? Man, if that's you in this house, on the count of three, I want your hands up. 1, 2, 3. Put them up, please, all over the place. Just put them up and say, would you just pray for me, because I want to fly again. I want to fly again. Come on, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray over every single one of us with our hand up to say, God, I want to fly again. I want to rise above it all. God, please give me new strength. I'm done working with myself. I'm done with all the crazy and chaos. God, I want silence in my soul again so I can think clearly and I can trust you clearly without contaminants. And God, I will wait on you. God, I will wait on you. I will wait on you. I will trust in you. God, I will look to you. I'll have an expectation on you. God, in that, I'm asking for a new strength. And God, I'm asking to fly again. God, I'm asking to run and not get tired. I want to walk and not grow weary. God, I want to have progression forward. I'm done going downhill. I'm done going backwards. God, it's time to climb again. It's time to climb again. Lord, I pray over everyone with our hands up. I say, God, it's time. I wait on you. I trust in you. Do something to my soul today. Do something to my spirit today. Breathe new life in my soul. And let there be refreshing that comes again. In Jesus' name. Come on, as we sing, if anybody needs further prayer, we'd love to pray with you. If anyone wants to talk Jesus, we'd love to talk Jesus. Come on.